Proverbs chapter 23, and we're going to be reading here in just a little bit, 29 through verse 35. I'll go ahead and give you the subject that I'm going to be covering this morning, and the subject entitlement is going to be overcoming addictions. And what it does here in Proverbs 23, it describes an addiction, but it's talking about alcohol, but alcohol isn't the only addiction that people have. There's all kinds, different types of addictions. And then we're going to speak a little bit, really our main focus is going to be on overcoming them. But I want you, addiction is described in this text. The sorrow that addictions cause is described in this text. And this text describes alcohol addiction. It can also be used to describe drug addiction. Just different types. So let's go ahead and read verses 29 through 35. I was going to exposit the text, but decided not to do that. And I'm just going to read it just to kind of as an opening for this message on the subject of addictions. It says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" So verse 29 describes basically what happens many times when someone's an alcoholic or someone's in some type of intoxicated effect. I've been intoxicated before, and it says, who has wounds without cause? What does that mean? You woke up the next day and you had bruises and something was cut, and something was broken. You just didn't know how it happened. This congregation has people here today, many people today here that's experienced just exactly what I just described, including myself. I just don't know how it happened. I know something bad happened. I was bruised up, but I don't know how it happened. Does everybody know where I'm coming from?
Amen, sir.
"They that tarry long with the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it's red." That means to stay away from it, basically. You see, look at something you're apt to. You remember Jesus warns that in the New Testament about looking at someone and lusting after it. Sin is first comes through the avenue of the eyes. So that's why you got to be careful what you look at. Okay? So here it says, don't look. It says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its collar in the cup. At last it moveth itself aright. And it bites like an adder," it says it biteth like a serpent and stings like an adder. That means it'll bite you. And an addiction will indeed bite you. And the things that leads to addiction will bite you. It likens alcohol addiction here to a poisonous serpent. It really does. It'll take away your heart. It'll take away your conscience. Someone that's addicted on drugs and alcohol, and I'm going to talk about more things in a moment, it takes away their heart. They'll steal from their mom and dad. They'll steal from their children. I mean, they'll do whatever it takes to get it. And it takes away their what again? It takes away their heart. It does. "Thine eyes shall behold strange women." Of course, there's other sin that's associated with the abuse, substance abuse. "And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or he that lies upon the top of a mast." And verse 35 is the verse I'm after. "They have stricken me, and thou shalt say, I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Yet when I awake," now here's the addiction described, "yet when I awake, despite all the sorrow, despite all the beatings, despite all the hardship," it says what? Verse 35, the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words is what I'm after. "Yet when I awake, I will seek it yet again." Let us pray. Father, we're thankful that we have this fine number today and these people that are here. And Lord, we're covering a tough subject. I just surely don't know. I think this message is for everybody here today. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message to touch hearts. I pray that it also be preventive maintenance for those who might be dabbling in some things that they don't need to be dabbling in. We pray that you would help us all come clean here today. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless this message in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're going to title this message, Overcoming Addictions. Now, there's many different types of addiction. There's alcohol. I wrote some of them down here for you. Alcohol addiction is one everybody thinks about. And, of course, there's I had the stats up to date, but I didn't get no up-to-date stats for this man. Over a million alcoholics, I think. I think it was just, and teenagers, too. A large number of teenagers are alcoholics. Drug use. Drug use is also illegal drug use and prescription drug use. There's as many prescription drug addicts as there are illegal drug addicts. At OxyContin. I mean, man, it's hard to, they'll knock your door down and come in. I mean, it's amazing how many people's hooked on prescription drugs. So you got to include pornography. That's rampant in our land because, you know, it used to be you had to pay a go up the middle of Charleston and pay a ticket and go in and watch pornography. And less people were more apt not to do it. Then now you can pump it right through your computer. Now you can get it just fresh right out of your house if that's what you so desire. And pornography is another type of addiction. Gambling, addiction. I mean, you see what I'm saying? There's so many different types. And our nation is filled with addicts that's caught up on some of these things. And God's people need to be different. This message is entitled Overcoming Addictions. And I'll just be honest with you, folks. I don't know how to fix some of the messes people get themselves into. I just don't know how to fix them. I really don't. But I'm going to do the best I can with this message. And I'm going to tell you the best way not to get addicted on something is stay away from some of these things totally. I really do. Stay away from these things. Oh, let's go. I've seen a lot of bad things in 33 years of pastoring. I've seen a lot of messed up people. All right, let's move on. Step number one, here's what I think you do, and I want you, as you're here, let me show you one thing before I give you step one. Now, I'm going to take my time. If I don't get done, then I'll stop and I'll finish it because I ain't on no timetable this morning to say I have to knock out at this time. But this is an important message. Our land is filled with addiction, and some of them people are Christian people. And I'm going to address this bluntly and plainly, and we're going to roll on. We're doing Proverbs on Wednesday nights, and notice what it says in verse 26. It says, to ponder thy path of thy feet. It says, let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So that's a great advice, isn't it? Don't go to the right or the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Look over at Proverbs 5, and I'm sorry, that was Proverbs 4, 25 or 26. But let's look over to Proverbs 5 now, and I want you to look at verse 22. It says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. His own iniquities will take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Now, the idea of cords, it's ropes. And he's talking, and this is what an addiction does. It binds you like a cord, and they're banded with the cord of their sins. And it holds them, and it's like a rope, like tying them up in a rope, and they can't get out of it. Okay? So those two psalms, Proverbs 23 describes addiction, Proverbs 5:22 describes addiction. So both of those describe it. Step number one, I'm going to give you seven steps. How to overcome addiction. I think the first thing you do is you go to God. Amen. I hate to be overly simple, but I think the first thing you do is you go to God. You know, you take a sinner, and a sinner can clean themselves up, can't they? Sometimes people, I know sinners that reformed their life. But my friend, if you're a reformed sinner, you're still a sinner. And I honestly believe that the greatest need of a person is to have eternal life. Amen. And to have victory over death. and to have a home in the Father's house. I could quit drinking. Of course, I have. I could have quit drinking, but if I never trusted Christ as my Savior, I'd just be a reformed alcoholic. I wanted to be a child of God. And I wanted to have victory over what I told you about when we sung that song. I wanted to have victory over sin, death, and hell. And just being clean from substance abuse is not going to save your soul. In order to be clean, I want you to not only be clean from substance abuse, but I also want you to be clean from your sin. So I think the first thing you do, in order to overcome an addiction is, I think, that you go to God. And I think that when you have the Lord Jesus in your life and inside you dwells the Spirit of the living God, I honestly believe He can give you victory over sin. And I think that's the key to the whole thing. If you got Jesus in your heart and you got the Holy Spirit in your heart, He can give you the ability to do things that in and of yourself and in and of your own strength, you can't do yourself. I honestly believe what Philippians 4:13 says, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, is that a lie or is that a promise? But in order to claim that promise, you've got to know Him. You've got to know Him as your Savior. You've got to have His Spirit in you. And He can give you the ability to lay things aside. All God's people say it. He can give you the victory over it. So I think that's the first thing that a person does, is the first thing you need to do is get saved. Amen. I think that's the first thing. You need to go to God, and you need to get your sins washed away. And then you need to trust Him to give you help to gain victory over your addiction. And I just think He can. 1 Corinthians 6, this goes with it, and I got a lot of things to say, so don't be starting to think, well, you left this out. I'm not nowhere near done. I'm just giving you steps. Y'all think this morning the most important thing for a person that's in sin or gripped by an addiction, do you not think the first and foremost, first thing they need to do is trust Jesus? Amen. That's the first thing that they need to do. I'm just waiting on a little help. First thing you do is go to God. All right, now I'm going to, I got a lot to do. I got a lot of things that I want to show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When Paul went to Corinth, he almost left. You can read about it, if I'm right, I'm pretty sure, Acts 17. He got there and he almost left. I mean, when you wanted to call someone a low-life name, you called them a Corinthian. And Paul went there. And he went there, and it was just like it come as build. It was one of the most wicked places on the earth. Good place for a church, though, wasn't it? Amen. See, a church's a hospital for the sick. It ain't a rest home for the saved. It's a hospital for the sick. And, well, the Lord put a church there. And in the book of Acts 17, Paul's getting ready to leave, and the Lord had to appear to him in a vision and said, "Paul, speak! I got a lot of people in this city." So he spoke, and a lot of people got saved, and it changed their lives. It changed their lives. They weren't the same. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 6. Here it describes the sins of the Corinthian people. It describes what they were before the Lord saved them. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither a fornicator." Now, fornication is a broad term because it really, that one term covers the whole spectrum of immoral lifestyles. "Neither a fornicator, idolaters," somebody worship idols, "adulterers, effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind," describes the homosexual lifestyle, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers," that's someone that abuses people with their mouth, "neither revelers shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now notice what verse 11 says. Here's the good part. "Such were some of you." That means some of them that were now active members of the Church of Corinth. At one time, they were drunkards. At one time, they were homosexuals. At one time, they were prostitutes. At one time, they were involved in all these types. They had addictions. They had sins that held them like ropes. And then when the Lord saved her soul, the key to that, such were some of you. The Lord saved them, washed them clean. So the first step in to gain victory over an addiction is you need to go to God. You need to get somebody you know is a child of God that can tell you the way to God and explain the gospel to you. Man, I tell you, the gospel will give you victory over sin, death, and hell, but it can give you victory over an addiction too. I know people that it's done that for. Under this same point, can a saved person fall into an addiction? Oh my, you get all kinds of opinions on that. I'll just go ahead and answer it for you. Yeah, they sure can. I mean, another way of saying it, can a saved person fall into sin? You want to answer it? Sure they can. And buddy, that old sin can get such a grip on them that it can begin to take over their life. It's a dangerous position when a child of God falls into sin. Do you agree? It's a dangerous spot to be in to continue on. Notice what it says in Galatians 6 and verses 1 through 4. Galatians 6 says, brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, what's that mean? To be overtaken in a fault. It means to fall into sin. It says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, that's someone that's actively serving the Lord, that's not overtaken in a fault, it says to restore such a one. Now, I want you to notice the key to this restoration. In the spirit of meekness, that's the word meekness means in the spirit of gentleness, not in the spirit of arrogance, in the spirit of meekness. I've seen this done before where somebody was seeking to restore someone. They went and the tears would be rolling off their faces because they cared so much for the person in sin. And you know, that person looked at them and said, man, that person really loves me. You really care about me. You see what I mean? There's a difference. You do it in a spirit of arrogance, you'll run them completely off and you won't help them at all. Because one thing you got to remember, you got to deal with people like you'd like to be dealt with. You got to deal with people like you'd like to be dealt with. See, and I got a horrid temper, so you'd be have to make me real mad real quick if you don't deal with me just in the right kind of way. I'm more apt to listen to someone that's gentle, that cares, that I know loves me and wants to set me back aright. You see the difference between the two. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. The word restore, and I've given this to you in the past, Mark 1:19. It was used for mending a net. Remember, I didn't mention this when I talked on Luke chapter 5, but it says the disciples were mending their nets. You know why they were mending their nets? Somebody tell me. They had a hole in them. That's deep, wasn't it? They had a hole in them. They were broke. They were a broken net. But what I want you to see is that you didn't throw away a broken net. Because that broken net could be mended. That broken net could be mended and catch fish again. That word mended is the same word restore in Galatians 6. You don't throw a broken net away. You go mend it. I heard an old sinner say one time that sometimes this is right, that Christians are the only ones that shoot their wounded. And in some cases, that is exactly true. Man, we don't want to shoot our wounded. We need to love them because that could be us and might be us in the future. You seek to win them back. And you do it, how does it say to do it? In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. So, you bring them to God. You take them to the Lord. The Lord will forgive you. The Lord will clean you this thing. So I think that's the first step of any addiction, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. I think that's the first place you go. Because a lost man, if all you do is help him with his addiction, hopefully that's good too. But he needs the salvation of his soul, because if he dies, he's still lost, isn't he? The number one priority of any sinner is to be saved. And that's top priority when you deal with somebody. And then when they're saved, then they have more help to deal with their addiction. Number two, are you ready? Need to get a buddy. When you got an addiction, not only the first person you need to go to God, but you need to get a buddy. You need an accountability partner. I believe in accountability partners. Someone will check on you. Someone will meet with you. Someone will come to your house and talk to you. Someone that's in close contact that can ask you about how you're doing. They can come to your house, kind of look around a little bit and see if there's anything there that don't belong there. You need someone that is an accountability partner. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and I want to read this to you. Anybody getting anything from this? Well, I hope you are. I'm just getting started. Man, I tell you what, we got an addicted society to everything, son. I mean, these people got addictions everywhere, and the only sin they are is drinking, according to some folks, and that ain't the only sin they are. And it's not the only addiction they are either. There's many of them. These people eat themselves to death, too. The book of Proverbs says, it talks about the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. So there's people that eat themselves to death. All kinds of addictions. There's people who's got food addictions. But we only know of one or two, drugs and alcohol. That's the only addictions they are. Oh, boy, let's go ahead and go on. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. What does it say? Two are better than one, for they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, and he don't have another to help him up. Mark it. Remember it. You need a buddy. When you're in an addiction, you need an accountability partner. Of course, you need to stay in touch with the Lord. He's the greatest friend you'll ever have. But you also need a physical presence with you sometimes that you can see and touch, you know. Someone that cares about you, that'll go back there, you know, and hug you and say, "Listen, how you been doing? Have you quit watching that pornography? I mean, are you still flipping through? Are you still finding these things that'll hold you accountable for it? See? Do you still got the stations that shows it? Flip on the television and look. See what I'm saying?" You need to have an accountability partner, because two are better than one. And sometimes you need someone that will help you up. But you also need someone to hold you accountable. Man, when you got an accountability partner, I've been an accountability partner before for a lot of people over the years. And then when I quit hearing from them and then they quit, then I can't get a hold of them. I know something's wrong. Do you see what I mean? In the beginning, a lot of things goes pretty good for a while, but then when I can't get a hold of them no more and they quit getting in a hold of me, I know that they're back in doing what they've done before. I know it. They don't have to tell me. I know it. And then they duck me. I tell you, you know it. So you need a partner. You need a partner. You need to go to God, then you need to get a good buddy. God's people should hold one another up. Amen. Lift one another up. Come to one another's aid. And when they're not what they're supposed to be, we should still love them like God still loves them. Amen. You ever see that bird, that sometimes birds will get one that's not liked it and they'll peck it to death? You ever seen that before? I've seen it. Sometimes that's what God's people do. They'll pick each other to death. We need to come to one another's aid. Get an accountability partner, someone that you can meet with. Set a time when you can meet with them. Have an established time that you meet with them. Talk to them. call them, there needs to be accountability there. So you go to God and you get a friend, you get a buddy, you get a Christian brother or sister. Number three, are you ready? Overcoming addiction, number three is you need to count your cost. If you can just get people to count the cost. You see, the danger of the addiction is it's a physical dependency. That's what's overwhelming about it. It's a situation where you have to have it. And that's a hard thing to break. That's why you need the Lord's power and you need help to do so. Number three, you count the cost. I read the text in Proverbs 4 and the verse 26. And I read that earlier, since I'm not going to read that again. It says, to ponder your path. I preached that on a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. You need to consider the consequences of the addiction. As a matter of fact, before you get on the addicting thing, you need to consider that that could end up being an addiction and could take over your whole life. Okay? So you need to count the cost. Here's some consequences of addictions. Are you ready? Let me give them to you here real fast. Number one, it could cost you your health. It could take your health. I remember big old offensive tackle when I was a sophomore. Big old offensive tackle. He'd knock your head plumb off. I hated being lined off across from him. Boy, he was a strong as an ox, but good buddy of mine. And it was alcohol with him. Now, I don't know if it's other things or not. I just know about the alcohol part of it. I come in from work one day and he's on my porch. And then, because he knew I was a Christian, and he knew I did the same things he did in the past, so he knew I had victory over it, so he figured I could tell him how. I remember looking at him, and we all lifted together. He had about 17-inch arms in high school. That's a pretty good-sized arm. A big, strong guy. And I looked at his arms, and they was that big around. I never forget, that's the first thing I noticed. I said, man, I looked to him and I thought, man, he's such a man. But the abuse of it, it took his health and eventually killed him. It'll take your family. It'll take your family. You'll lose your, I've seen people lose their whole family because they loved that. They loved the addiction because the craving of it was greater than even the love for their family was. Have you seen it? Lost her family from it. Lost her jobs. You all talk to some of these. I talk to some of these business people, and man, it's difficult to find an employee that can pass a drug test. There's so many people want something. It's difficult to find someone that can pass a drug test. We got a society that's gripped with it. It'll take your health, your family, your job. It'll take your name. And if you ain't careful, it'll take your soul. How can I say this nice? I can't say it nice. These pinheads that make these movies, and they show these young people out drinking and partying and all this. Let me show you the downside of those things sometime. The exact same people that drank when I did still drink today. And unless the Lord saved their soul, they died from it. Many of them never got off of it. And they started when they was teenagers. That's why I always liked to teach teenage boys when I was growing up. Never got off of it. The grip was so great that eventually they killed herself with. I hate it. And I just made it before I hate it. I don't have no use for it. I don't even have a little bit of it in the house. Because I'm going to tell you right, I just couldn't drink a little bit of it. I just couldn't drink a little bit of it. Or use a little bit of it. I had to get away from it. Count the cost of that thing before you ever light the first one up or drink the first one. Or shoot the first one. Or gamble the first one. Consider that thing will make a cord around you and tie you up that you can't get out of. Let me tell you something else. Here's the worst thing about an addiction. You'll usually pass it on to somebody else. You'll pass it on to your children if you ain't careful. I've been with people before and I said, oh, I don't know where they got that at. And I just want to so bad to say, they got that from you. They got that from you. That's all they ever seen in you. That's where they got it at. Count the cost. The cost is too great. Y'all agree? Amen. Cost of an addiction is too great. I'm going to skip down just a little bit. I want to get this one in now. I'm just going to go as I think led. I've talked to the addicts, and I've talked to drunkards, and I've talked to people that were hooked on pornography and all these different things. And you know the first thing they'll tell you? Don't ever start. Don't ever start. What they said. I think that's good advice for somebody. Don't ever start. You don't have to worry about it becoming an addiction if you don't ever start. Because once you start, and then you put yourself around the crowd and the people that does, over time that thing can get such a grip on your soul that you can't quit unless you have divine intervention from God. Very difficult task to do. So you count the cost and you don't start. Proverbs chapter 27, let's go back there. I don't know what's going to be in another 20 years. Do you? And it's a horrible thing. One reason why the crime rate's so high is people's breaking in people's houses and things and trying to get some of them drugs in there. Prescription drugs. Now, if you go out here and tell everybody, says Jeff, tells them not to take a prescription drug, then you would be lying. I'm talking about addictions. Sometimes you have to have a... When my back was out, I took Lortab 10s, and that just barely cut it. You remember when I preached with Wilder and Buck up here, wasn't it? No, I was able to preach. I couldn't stand. Remember, I sat in a chair and did it. I was on Lortab. That was just enough to cut it a little bit just so I could preach. Y'all remember? But I didn't want to stay on them things real long. And then I got my surgery done, and it helped me. So the Lord gives a knowledge for medicines. But man, if you ain't careful, you can get so established on some type of things, Oxycontin and things, that it's such a grip on you that you can't get rid of it. And it'll take over your whole world. And you'll steal, kick, and do whatever it takes to get it. And that's one of the things that's driving the crime, is all of these addictions. Our land's in a mess. I'm telling you, folks, our land is in a mess. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12, it says, a prudent man, it's a wise man, foresees the evil. A wise man foresees the evil, and what's he do? He hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. In order to gain victory over addiction, let me catch up to where we're at. You go to God first, right? That's where you go to Him. You go to Him. If you're saved, you still go to Him. Number two, you get an accountability partner. You get someone that can help you, because two are better than one. If you got someone that can help you and someone you can talk to, someone that can encourage you, someone that can watch after you a bit, that means a lot. You need that. Woe to him that falls and is a alone, and he don't have someone to help him up. Number three, you got to count the cost. Count it before you ever get with a... First of all, if you get with a crowd that does it, you'll do it. If you run around with a crowd that does it, you'll do it. Don't run with them. The crowd that done it when I was in school, many of them died of it, and unless the Lord's grace intervened, they still on it. You got to count the cost and what all it will cost you. You foresee the evil and then you hide yourself. If you know not to put yourself in a bad situation, I foresaw the evil in certain situations, and I wouldn't go. I told you this in the past, and I'll tell you it again. Well, I quit using alcohol and drugs, and when I was in school, I just didn't want those boys to think that I thought I was better than them, because that's what they always say about Christians, isn't it? They think they're better than I am, so I didn't want them to say that. So I thought, well, I'll go with them, and I'll just hang there a little bit so they won't, so they won't think that I think that I'm better than them. Okay? So I went. I couldn't stand it. I watched them drinking and things. I just absolutely couldn't stand that. I had to have it. I had to, just one. I drank just one. And son, if you'd hit me with a club across the head, would nothing hurt me any worse than that. Just as soon as it hit my belly, it broke my heart. That's how I know that's changed. Man, I come up out of there. I left that day. I was walking down them train tracks, and the tears were running down my face. I said, oh, God, never again. Never again. But I knew something. I couldn't be around it and not do it. So I foreseen the evil, and I hid myself from it. All God's people see it. See the difference? You got to watch these things. So you foresee the evil, and you stay away from it. You don't get around it. Proverbs 13:20 says, a companion of wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. You run with the riffraff of this world, they'll pull you right into sin. I still love them old boys that I ran with. I've done several of them's funerals because I was the only preacher they knew. I know what it can do to folk, and I hate it. I had to change my friends, though. They were still, if they needed help, I'd still help them down to the day. But I couldn't run with them. I couldn't hang out no more with them. If I was going to stay away from those things, I had to get away from the crowd that did. Can I get a witness? If I was going to stay away from those things, I had to get away from the crowd that did. If you don't get away from the crowd that does, you'll never get away from it. So you foresee the evil, that's number four, and you hide yourself thereof. Number five, well, actually this is number six. I skipped down to the last one. You need to keep yourself strong. Turn to Galatians 5. It says in verse 16, I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Folks, there's people, how can I say this nice? Our nation's also addicted to sex, too. It has a sexual addiction. And it's overtook our young people, too. Little children born out of wedlock is unbelievable. Last count, I had like 1 million teen pregnancies every year now. I mean, it's just the repercussions of all these things are overwhelming. Do you not agree? And there's such things as sexual addiction. That's a natural desire, but the Lord placed that within the bonds of marriage. And all man has done is took it outside the bonds of marriage and made it something perverted, and it's perverted our whole land with it. Still have over 1 million abortions every year. Leading cause of abortion is getting rid of the problem. And what feeds that is all the immorality. People seeking to cover their sin. I mean, you see all the things that happen. So there's so many different kinds of addictions. And that's what it says here in Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. You cannot do the things that you would. That's why you got to have God's help. I'm a saved man, obviously. I wouldn't be caring. I mean, I'm a saved man. I know I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. I know my sins is paid for. I know my name's written there. I know I got victory over death. You know, I know that. But I still live in a body of flesh. And I fight this battle with this body every day of my life. Oh, can I get a witness for Ryan, only one? Would you raise your hand if you fight the... Every day of your life you fight it. Every day of your life you fight it. You fight the old battle with your flesh. And you know what you need to do? You got to keep yourself strong. Here's what's worrying me. God's people don't read God's word. Very little. They'll glance at it. I just think if you watch 4 or 5 hours of television and get 5 minutes a day of God's word, that you're not going to be very spiritual. I'm not that goofy. To get 4 to 5 hours of television with all the wonderful things, even the commercials are embarrassing. And you don't get but 5 minutes of God's Word, and some of you probably don't even read your Bible 5 minutes. And shame on you if that's you. There's no way you could be spiritual not getting God's Word or not getting God's Word at God's house. You got to have God's house. You got to have God's Word. And you got to spend time with God in order to walk in the Spirit. Holy Spirit gets, I mean, man, you got to stay, old timers, you got to stay close to Jesus, if you want to say it that way. You got to stay close to Him. If you don't, I don't care how long you've been saved. If you don't stay close to the Lord, you can drift into sin. That's called preventive maintenance. I do a lot of preventive maintenance. Listen to me. I couldn't quit coming to church. I've told you before about me counting all the ceiling tiles in here when I was a little boy because Mom and Dad made me come. They made me come. There wasn't no option I had. I'm glad they did. But I can remember a time when I started serving the Lord in the 10th grade, 11th grade. I couldn't wait for the next church service. That's how I know that I was different now I was. I hated it before. I'd rather been out playing ball somewhere. I just didn't, you know, if I had to, you know. But then that changed. I know that I had to be here. And I knew if I got out, it would affect me. I knew it. I knew I had to... potential of being weak and falling into sin if I got out. So I never missed, Mike. I come to all of them because I knew that I needed that added boost of strength, and it did make me stronger. It made me stronger. And then I knew, and I started carrying a little New Testament. If you went to school, I always had a little New Testament back here in my back pocket. Then when I got an opportunity to read it while I was in school, I'd read it because people thought it was my cigarettes. Yeah, I can remember doing this. If you started smoking again, I said, no. The New Testament. And I would get alone somewhere with Jesus, and I'd read the Proverbs, and because I knew that would keep me strong. I knew I needed to do these things. Jesus told Simon Peter, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And as soon as you start thinking your flesh is strong, you're in bad shape. You need to do the necessary things to keep yourself strong spiritually. If you don't keep yourself strong spiritually, you'll fall into sin. The one thing I don't want to do, I don't want to dishonor my Father's name. I'm talking about my earthly dad. I'm talking about my earthly dad, that's for sure. But I'm talking about my heavenly Father. I don't want to do anything, fall into something that where I dishonor His name. That keeps me from doing and saying a lot of things. All God's people say it. So you keep yourself strong spiritually. And this goes with that, and this is the last one. You redeem your time. When you're getting off, I'm going to recap this. When you're getting off, when you quit partying, there's a lot of time that you spend doing that. So, Larry, you got to do something with that time. When someone gets off these things, you don't want them sitting around twiddling their thumbs. There's a replacement principle. Like in the book of Ephesians, it says, ye that steal, steal no more, rather work. Instead of steal, go to work. So see, you're replacing something that's bad with something that's good. You got, it's called the replacement principle, because you don't want to be sitting around twiddling your thumbs. Because if you don't, if you do that, then what's going to happen is you're going to get bored, and you're going to fall right back into sin. You need something. You need to, and that you can replace that time with God's house and God's word, running around with God's people, or taking good long walks, or lifting. I lifted weights, man. That's what I started doing. That's why I always liked it. I thought, man, I weighed 165 pounds when I was in the 10th grade. When I come into my junior year of high school to football practice, I weighed 195 pounds. I gained 25 pounds a year. I went from being a sprinter on the track team to a shot putter. Got stronger. I was healthier. But I replaced that time with, that's just an example. That's a good thing you can do. Replace the bad with the good. Take that time up doing things that are good. Just don't sit and twiddle your thumbs or you'll fall right back into sin. The last part, and this last thing I'm going to mention, because I'm not skilled in this aspect of it. There is people that get so bad that I think they need to be taken somewhere and dried out, so to speak. I didn't know any other way to say it. But there is Christian detox programs, and I would suggest that you look some of those things up. It's Christian-based. And I didn't get the time that I've wanted to look on that particular aspect of it, because it's, you know, the craving's so great that they could even have a heart attack when they're trying to get off such things. So they need to be medical staff that are there. So, well, I'm almost done. Overcoming addictions, go to God. Would you go to Him today? Go to God. I don't know what your addiction might be. Let me tell you what it is with Christians. It's secret things. It's secret sins is what it is. What a Christian does in secret. But you want to know a little something? It's not in secret. You won't want anybody else to know about it, but God knows about it. And if God knows about it, you need to do something about it. Won't you do that today? Go to God. Ask the Lord to help you. You get an accountability partner. Could be somebody in this congregation. Could be somebody in your family. Count your cost of what it's going to do to you. Foresee the evil. You see opportunities, but you know it's going to be a problem for you. You need to stay away from it. Keep yourself strong by keeping yourself in God's Word. Redeem your time. Don't waste your time. And last of all, like the old fella told me, don't ever start. Don't ever start. All God's people said.